You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Earlier this week, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon announced a major reshuffling of ministerial portfolios within the National Party. Among the most notable portfolio changes was handing over Dr. Shane Retty's role as Minister of Health to Transport Minister Simeon Brown, and the appointment of Nicola Willis as Minister of the newly created portfolio of Minister of Economic Growth, a title formerly known as the Minister of Economic Development. The cabinet reshuffle has led to concerns about the fate of Health New Zealand and Aotearoa's healthcare sector, noting that Shane Retty had over 20 years of experience working in medicine, whereas Simeon Brown has none. The reshuffle also comes shortly after a recent poll by the Taxpayers Union showed that the Nationals' approval rating had fallen below 30%, the lowest rating they've received while in government since 1999. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March about the cabinet reshuffle and the implications it may have for the healthcare sector and economy. We also discussed the government's new free speech legislation for universities and the ceasefire agreement between Hamas and the Israeli Defense Force. What does the Green Party think of the portfolio changes that have been made in National's recent cabinet reshuffle?
Look, this is all just optics, and it just shows that the government is not treating really serious issues like health seriously. Appointing someone who is talking about health issues, we're talking about Simeon Brown, using language such as customers and products as opposed to, you know, treating it as a public good and a right to access. And the new Minister of Health, Simeon Brown, has no experience on the sector. Making it really, really worrying at a time where the health sector is in a crisis and the government is underfunding it.
Why do you think National made the decision to reshuffle its portfolios so drastically at this point in time?
Well, we know they've had pretty poor polling results lately, and this must be a desperate attempt at changing who's in the deck to give the government a new paint, coat of paint. But again, we're seeing how the government isn't necessarily being able to appoint new ministers who actually have experience or care about the issues they're going to be working on. And that is concerning for the people who are having to wait far too long for elective surgeries, who are reporting issues, being able to access basic health care, and who are having to be hospitalized for issues that could be treated at the GP.
So do you think that the transfer of Dr. Shane Retty's role as Minister of Health to Simeon Brown will have a negative impact on the healthcare sector of Aotearoa?
While Shane Retty wasn't doing a good enough job, I can't see Simeon Brown doing any better. The guy made his political career on campaigning for anti-abortion policies. He himself has admitted that he does not have any previous experience working on health-related issues, and it just shows that, again, the government is treating health as a commodity rather than a right that people should be able to access. But at the moment, the government will just continue underfunding the health system.
Additionally, what do you make of the newly created role of Minister of Economic Growth that had been assigned to Nicola Willis in the reshuffling move?
The pursuit for economic growth without actually considering who is benefiting from the economic growth that we have seen across the decades just shows that this government wants to continue an aggressive neoliberal approach that will just entrench inequality, because we have seen that in times of high economic growth, we have not seen the impacts on poverty reduction that the right-wingers would have expected to see. And this just tells us that when the economy grows, it often just means that the rich keep getting richer at the expense of everyone else.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Earlier in December, the government introduced new amendments to the Education and Training Act that would require universities to adopt a freedom of speech statement. This was to curb what the government described as an increasingly risk-averse approach to free speech and a trend of universities deplatforming speakers. I understand that the Greens took issue with this move, so can you tell us what the party's thoughts are on the legislation and what implications you think it may bring?
Universities are institutions that actually should be empowered to make decisions on who they platform, and it shouldn't be up to David Seymour. The reality is that this has nothing to do with free speech, and it actually has to do with David Seymour seeking to control how our universities are able to operate. universities as institutions and with bodies of students should be able to have the critical debates about who gets platforms in these institutions. And all this will do is enable not robust debate, but potentially people with, say, for example, Nazi ideologies being able to be platformed at universities against, for example, the university as an institution being able to make these critical calls about how they choose to platform speakers.
So do you think it's possible that universities had been going beyond preventing misinformation and hate speech and simply deplatforming speakers they disagreed with, as David Seymour has said?
Absolutely not. Every institution, including government, has a role to combat misinformation and disinformation. One of the best ways to do it, and when it comes to universities, is by adequately resourcing them to be able to do that work. But what is happening right now is very different. It has very little to do with free speech and more with David Seymour actually wanting to control how universities operate rather than leaving them as critical institutions of thinking that allows them to actually... that allows to move forward, actually, when it comes to how we choose to debate issues, the kind of critical thought that goes into when it comes to debating important issues as well. And I don't think that should be up to government.
How could free speech legislation such as this be harmful towards certain groups of people and academic integrity?
Well, because once again, this is not about free speech. This is about enabling hate speech in universities. As I mentioned earlier, this isn't about having robust debates. This is about enabling people with, say, even neo-Nazi-style ideology from being able to participate in inciting hate towards other groups. And I think universities actually have the tools necessary to make good judgment calls about who they choose to platform, and that shouldn't be up to David Seymour.
All right, moving on to the last topic. After 15 months of fighting and more than 45,000 Palestinians being killed, the Israeli Defense Forces and Hamas have finally established a ceasefire agreement. The ceasefire will be carried out in 3 stages and will involve the exchange of Israeli hostages for Palestinian prisoners. I understand that this is something the Greens have been calling for some time. So what was your initial reaction to the ceasefire announcement?
Look, of course, we're elated to see Palestinian Fano here in Aotearoa celebrating the ceasefire. That obviously has come too late, but that will now allow critical aid to be brought to Palestinian families who have been displaced. I think this needs to be the first step in a broader steps to Palestinian liberation that need to include conversations around Palestinian statehood and recognition as well.
Given Israel's track record throughout the war and before it, are you confident that they will honor the terms of the ceasefire?
Oh, look, of course, we're going to be watching very cautiously about whether Israel honors the terms and conditions of the ceasefire. We've got to remember that there has been tens of thousands of civilian deaths in Palestine as a result of the genocide that Israel has pursued over the past, almost 2 years plus. And so, we'll be watching that closely because Israel in the past decades has consistently ignored international law when it comes to the treatment of Palestinian people.
Does Aotearoa still have a role to play in both maintaining the ceasefire and ensuring peace afterwards?
Aotearoa can do so much more as it could have been actually over the past few years. And this includes greater advocacy when it comes to aid, recognizing Palestinian statehood, which we actually haven't yet, despite both major parties saying that they support it in principle, at least they both talk about a two-state solution. And so I think right now would be the adequate time for the government to do this, as we not just support Palestinians to rebuild, but actually to support them towards the liberation they deserve.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.